You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Title of today's show says it all, but I'll say it again just for fun. It's a big day for Penn State football. Decision day for potential five-star quarterback Matt Zollers, who is choosing between realistically four schools, realistically three schools, later today on Thursday. If you're watching this here live with us, welcome to BWI Live. I'm Thomas Frank Carr, Ryan Snyder, and Sean Fitz with me as well. We're going to get to Matt Zollers here in just one second, but guys, I just want to read the temperature of the room. I want to get just an initial, like, eyebrows up. Maybe not a good thing. I don't know. Fitz, welcome to the show. How you doing? Give us a temperature of what's going on. I had a whole thing in my head, and it just kind of face planted.
Are we getting to Zollers now or
Fitz,
in a minute?
Save me.
We didn't quite make it to the microphone, but that's okay, because we're just here to get 1% better each day. By the way, for all of those that were worrying last week, I got my recycling out this morning before the show. So
Good. Thank you for
checking on me. I thought about that this morning as I was dragging it out there, so I appreciate the thoughts and prayers on that one. Yes, decision day for Matt Zollers this afternoon at Spring Ford. Top four, I think everybody's looking at Missouri, Georgia, Penn State. Pittsburgh also in it. His brother's a defensive lineman at Pittsburgh. He was one of the final choices or one of the final visits that he took. So you can't rule that out. But he also took a trip to Bama, and I think we're pretty much ruling Bama out. It's just I don't think the timing worked out for that. But yes, he'll make that announcement today. And hasn't been a ton of confidence on Penn State's side. I don't flat out say it. I don't think he's going to Penn State. I don't know where he's going, but I don't think he's going to Penn State. And that's a tough one that we'll talk about the dynamic of that potential miss coming a little bit over the next hour, I guess. But flying right off the top, I guess I'll go with that.
All right. Well, you're setting the table for us and for that conversation. But before we get to that, because I want to get this out of the way right now, not because I think we, it's a thing to get out of the way, but also I want to make room for a really long conversation about that. So first off, our sponsor of today's show is My Perfect Franchise. If you're looking for a way to change your life and to really have your own American dream, the only way to do that, to set your future, is to set your financial future. If you're ready to leave the corporate rat race for the American dream, side hustle, diversify, build wealth, whatever it might be, owning your own business, owning your own franchise is a great way to do that. Check out My Perfect Franchise with Andy Ludicky. Give you the number right now and then at the end so you know it as well. 404-973-9901. Andy at MyPerfectFranchise.net. I'm not a business person. So when we talk to Andy once every year or so, he's thrown all kinds of businesses at us of what's hot, what's not, men's health. I can tell you generally men's health is very busy right now. It's a growing industry. So if that's something that you are passionate about, maybe you have some training in medical or pharmaceuticals, any of those things, maybe give him a call. But it doesn't matter what's going on with the economy, doesn't matter what's going on in the world, there's always some part of the American economy that is growing or there's an opportunity to invest. So he's got the experience to help you navigate this whole process of owning a franchise. He's had to do all the hard things. He's had to fire friends. He's had to get rid of businesses. He's had to cut his losses, and he's found a successful path forward. He wants to share that with you. His services are 100% free. He's here to help if you have any questions about business ownership. Andy at MyPerfectFranchise.net or 404-973-9901. So Fitz set us up with a particular vibe about this conversation, Ryan, but I want to back up a little bit. Matt Zollers on campus Friday to check out spring practice. What feedback were you able to get from Zollers, and what was kind of your read going into the Southern Swinger? He went to Alabama on Monday, and he went to Georgia on Tuesday. How were your conversations or your interactions with him during that time period?
Fine. I mean, what you would expect, right? I mean, he needed to see Andy Koldenecki up close and Danny O'Brien and working practice and all those good things. So that was all fine. I mean, I just, I felt like for a little while now that UGA and Missouri had his attention. And, you know, leaving that Missouri visit, there was a lot of talk that, you know, Missouri's kind of emerging as the team there. And for many reasons, right? I'm sure we'll find out in the coming weeks. But, I think Penn State did just everything that they could really do for this one. It's not, you know, if he ends up elsewhere, I don't think there's any fault of the staff or NIL or really anything. I mean, I think they really put their best foot forward here. At the end of the day, he's never been a Penn State fan or a Pitt fan. Like, there's no real local ties like there are for so many other recruits in the area. And that was something we stressed right off the bat, was that, yeah, Penn State will get him on campus a lot, but there isn't, you know, he didn't grow up going to Penn State games or anything like that. So his family, he was always open to whatever. And I think we might end up seeing that. But hey, look, I also don't remember the last time that there were no RPM picks and crystal balls and all that stuff, six hours out of it. So, I mean, this one does seem like one to certainly keep an eye or tune in for, I guess.
It but seems like
the feedback, Ryan, is elsewhere. Go ahead.
Just your interactions that this group of people, you know, Matt Zollers, his parents, and the people that are advising him, they seem to keep things pretty close to the vest, like kind of to just support what you were saying. Is that
Matt's
your
always been that way.
Feeling of that way?
Matt's always been that way. I mean, okay. He'll give a ton of interviews, and obviously we really appreciate it, but he's never one of those guys that's like, all right, you know, this school's emerging as a favorite, or, you know, this school really moved up my list. They've all been very, everyone's equal, steady Eddie, you know, and I think he's been that way from the jump. So it's always, because of that, it's always been a little hard to read. His dad, they haven't really done many interviews, and I don't really think there's a lot of even coach interviews out there. It's always been through Matt, and, you know, he's handled it as a professional kind of would, always kind of saying the right things and not slipping up and, you know, saying this, that, and a third. So,
and that's good, because, I mean, Spring Ford is not a D1 factory. He's not coming from a spot where they know how to play the recruiting game. He's just kind of taking it visit by visit, stride by stride, and every school that, you know, that he's involved with, the feedback is like, hey, they're extremely detailed about this. They asked us really good questions. And, you know, you just hope that you can answer those things. And I believe them when they say he didn't have a decision coming into these things. I've said that pretty much ad nauseum for the last couple of weeks. And judging from the feedback that we've gotten from people at our Georgia site is really good. And Georgia doesn't know right now. Kirby Smart supposedly doesn't know right now. Like, that should tell you something about coming down here. But again, we talked to enough people on this side where we kind of feel that, you know, it's going to be one of those SEC schools.
So I guess, how does, I don't want to move on, I guess, to the impact and the fallout and all those particular talking points. I guess I just kind of want to take a step back and let you guys have a conversation about it. How do you guys feel about this particular recruitment and how it's gone for Penn State? And, you know, you guys kind of set the table. If you don't think it's coming to Penn State, you think they did everything they could, not really like, oh no, what did they do here? But I guess how this has unfolded and how the Southern schools have really captured his interest, I guess I'm just curious about your perspective a little deeper on some of those topics.
Yeah, we got levels here. I mean, this is not a cut and dry thing. And if you look at the recruitment, this is not a guy that, you know, some guys, you say they wait too long to offer, or, you know, you just kind of drag your feet or something like that. It really wasn't the case. I mean, he was offered in early November, which you hate to say first big offer, because, you know, Power Four offers are all, you know, it's all great when everybody gets a scholarship. But Penn State was really early on him, had him in camp, was really effusive about the way that they recruited him even before they offered him a scholarship. And then they got on and went hard after him. And that's kind of the split right there, is that November, you take a commitment from Beckham Kritza, and you think Kritza can be a player at this level. But at the same time, that's a one in that quarterback category. You look at Georgia, you look at Missouri, there's no other like major contender here that has another quarterback. And while the kid can say that it's not an issue, it's one of those things that you just kind of look at and you say, yeah, absolutely it is. Absolutely. It's going to be a situation that issue is probably a strong word, but it's something that you have to work around that you did. I don't want to say did yourself, but like, that's kind of how this is. Like you've kind of put yourself in a position where you have to convince a kid to come to a two quarterback class as opposed to being the guy. And especially when that guy was in Colorado, now is in Miami. That's going to be one that, you know, I'm not sure the staff is really second guessing, but that's one that we'll second guess. Like if it's a situation where it's going to cost you a guy that eventually was your number one guy, as Matt Zollers was down the stretch, that's one that's tough. Like it's tough to put that one in words. So Penn State did a lot of right things in this recruitment and they still got beat. And that's an issue for James Franklin. That's an issue for Andy Kolarnecki, Danny O'Brien, all those guys. You got beat. That is, you got to tip your hat and go to the next guy. I think they'll stay on Zollers. But it's a tough one to stomach. So that level right there is, you can do a lot of things right. And I think we're in that era, in recruiting right now, where you can do most of the things right. And there's some things that you can't equalize on.
Ryan, just jump in here. Like, what do you think of the situation?
I mean, Sean hit on everything, right? I mean, I don't know how much NIL is going to play a part. I mean, there's certainly a lot of talk that Missouri has the biggest bag, if that makes sense. And if it was Missouri, I think a lot of people will wonder, you know, how much that had an impact over a school like Georgia. You know, Sean, you kind of mentioned on the board earlier this week that, you know, Georgia and Alabama, they certainly have deep pockets, I guess you say, but they do go about it similarly to Penn State, where they're not just throwing crazy money at kids who haven't proven anything. So that's just one thing I'll be looking for. You know, if it was to be the Missouri, I would be curious, because we know Missouri with Luther Burden, some other guys, like they have done that in the past. So just be curious to see how that works out, or how that works out. You know, Penn State's going to absolutely stay on them regardless. I don't really see them stopping. Go ahead, T-Frank.
Ryan, this is something I was curious about, and with as much details they've put into this recruiting process, with the questions they've asked, how even-handed they've been, is he a guy that you could see flipping down the road, or do you feel like this commitment, this is the decision for Zollers, understanding that anything can happen? Like, I guess, what's your temperature on the likelihood of those things?
I mean, from my interactions with him, I don't see him as that one of those guys who's going to make two or three commitments. I don't. I would bet that he sticks with what he has, especially because of quarterback recruitments, and usually it's important, you know, to keep your quarterback firm, and, you know, other schools will, wherever he commits to, is going to do everything they can to make sure that wouldn't happen. So I would lean towards it being final, but that doesn't mean Penn State's going to stop. And we'll see. I mean, I'm still not even 100% writing off that it's definitely not going to be Penn State yet, just because word usually leaks out. It has not leaked out yet. So we'll see. I'm not optimistic, but I'm not completely writing it off yet either.
So, Fitz, this is a conversation going on in the chat. I think you brought this up as well. I think this is just an interesting concept. Bane Train says, the way football is being built now with the transfer portal, I don't even think the freshman commitment matters that much. I wouldn't go that far, yeah. But he does make a couple of points of things that have worked out. You talk about Penix, Burrow, Jalen Hurts, all guys that have transferred later in their career and were successful for other teams.
It cost a lot of NIL money as well. Yeah.
Also, I mean, want to point out, the schools they transferred from had other five-star quarterbacks or right. highly recruited players. Like, it's not just you still got to have the input to then survive the output.
And Indiana, yes.
Yeah.
but no, I think there's...
And Indiana.
Hey, yeah. Hey, we got more levels here. We're doing a level show today here. Yes, the number one thing there, relationships still matter. So don't play the scorn lover here. Just like, stay with it and respect the decision. And then, you know, Julian Fleming came back around. Nolan Rucci came back around. That's part of the game these days. I'm not going to go with the freshman commitment doesn't really matter that much, because the bulk of your roster is still going to be these guys. The bulk of your roster is still going to be guys that start with you from the beginning. But you need to pick up pieces. Ryan made a good point there that, hey, these quarterbacks, that I don't want to equate it to the rookie wage scale in the NFL, but it's a certain price for really good high school freshman quarterbacks. But then you get later in your career and you get some guys that are maybe appealing options. Those are going to cost probably a stratosphere that Penn State isn't comfortable going to. And that's just right. the way that they do things. And I think that there's a lot of schools like that, but there's, you know, a couple that would splash here and there. And the success of Penix, the success of Joe Burrow.
Bo Nix.
But yeah, Bo Nix, like, yeah. And Bo Nix was, I don't even think Bo Nix was a guy that you splashed for. Like, it just happened to come around for the right fit there. That's got to be what Penn State does. Like, if you're going to find a quarterback late in his career, it's got to be a diamond in the rough, I guess. I mean, you know, you knew Bo Nix was talented, but it just didn't work out. And you got to think that you can make the most of it. So yeah, that's going to be a tough one. It's, hey, a lot of people like to play blackjack, but when you go into a casino on a weekend and they up the levels on the blackjack hands, like, some people can't play. Like, Penn State right now is hovering around the table, and I'm not sure that they're ready to jump into that because it's so freaking crazy. And I think we're probably in like a 2-year window where that's going to be the case. And it's going to be tough, and you're going to see, and probably we're going to talk about this a little bit later with Trent Wilson, but you're going to see guys that you do a lot of the things right for, and then all of a sudden can spin on a dime, or many dimes, if you will. And it could be a situation where, you know, things don't go great. So you've got to learn to work around that. You've got to learn to adjust to that. But it's really tough to break through, especially as we talked before. Penn State has great infrastructure, but, you know, it's going to take more than great infrastructure to get it done for those guys that can get you over the hump. And I think that that's the thing here.
I mean, it's funny you say the word infrastructure, and to be literal about that, they were behind on the battle for infrastructure before NIL became a thing. So, like, if you're adding up the thing, just historically over time, some of these negatives. But the point about being appealing on offense, Andy Kotelnicki, I wrote about this earlier this week, just generally spitballing, because those things, you know, the tight-lipped nature of who, from an emotional standpoint, is in the lead or who is most appealing, who fits really well. And looking at these offenses, I think Zoellers and his family did a great job of finding schools that fit his capabilities. He's a top passer in college football recruiting, so he should fit multiple schemes. But if you look at Georgia, you look at Missouri, and you look at Penn State specifically, those three offenses are similar, given what Andy Kotelnicki is bringing to Penn State, and it was a decent fit, but it's a projection. So, Ryan, you've said this before, the best way for Penn State to get the next five-star quarterback is to have success with the one they currently have.
Right.
Do you still or feel both. That way?
No matter. Just have any success with any of them at this point, you know? I mean, and that's... Not that Aller, I mean, Aller's going to be the guy, don't get me wrong, but just, you know, obviously Bo and his feed and what Kotelnicki will do. I don't really know that it even matters between the two at this point. I'd still lean towards Aller's being incredibly important. I don't want to overthink that or fancy that the wrong way. But, yeah, I mean, they got a lot to prove. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Penn State's, you know, issues last year have been used against them here. I mean, of course they have to some degree.
Absolutely, they have. Come on.
What's that?
Absolutely, they have. They have.
Yeah, absolutely. Have just like it. I think Kritza having a 2-quarterback class probably used against them, you know, and there are layers there that schools can certainly recruit against and give them a lot to think about. Go ahead, Sean.
No, I agree with that. And that's it's I don't want to say easy to negatively recruit Penn State for a quarterback, but, you know, the case is right there in front of you. So what do they have to do? They have to be appealing. And the thing is, like, when you change coordinators, you're doing it for a reason. Obviously, Penn State doing it for a reason. There's a couple ways that can go. It can go with, hey, the new guy is new coach bump, so much excitement. And then there's also, hey, I have to see this before I believe it. And I think we're in the latter with a guy like Matt Zoellers.
Yeah. And just to kind of put a fine point on it, I like Missouri's offense. And I think, obviously, Georgia is proven commodity, right? And there's a kind of a misconception for people that don't watch Georgia that they run a Big Ten stereotyped sort of offense. They use similar concepts and they use similar ways of attacking that a lot of the top offenses that are spread offenses use. Like, they use a lot more RPO than you might think. They throw the ball deep more than you might think, and they complement that with a 5-star running game, like with literally high-level recruits on the offensive line to support all those things. So if you're looking for a place to have success, it's interesting Georgia hasn't – have they gotten the quarterbacks that would match their production in terms of wins. And it feels like there is a final hump for them to overcome of getting a quarterback that hits really well and then, you know, goes on to be highly drafted or so. I guess I'm searching for some sort of situation.
They had one last year. And then he was switched to Nebraska at the end.
Yeah, Carson Beck's really good. I think the state that or the stat that I read from Jake Rowe from our Georgia site was Georgia's never won an SEC championship with a quarterback that wasn't from Georgia. I thought that was interesting. Yeah. And I'm looking here, and of course Matthew Stafford has kind of set the bar for them, but that's been 15 years now, so maybe even more. So there's that. But you look at what they had, and it's really interesting because Jacob Eason was Drew Aller, basically.
Yeah.
But Jake Fromm won the national championship, or excuse me, won the SEC championship, lost in the national championship game. And then Stetson Bennett came along, the little engine that could, and he was their most successful from a team standpoint ever. And now, you know, Carson Beck, I think, is really good. He was pretty highly regarded, if I recall. I don't know if he was a five-star, but I think he was top 100. But yeah, it's been really interesting to watch the wave of quarterbacks, and, you know, it's not always the number one guy.
Yeah. Any other thoughts here on this particular conversation? You know, any meat left JT on the bone?
Daniels too. Man, JT, that was one of JT Daniels' 9 schools. So,
well, that one felt like it was so long ago. I was going to bring up Justin Fields, but he transferred. So, like, they have obviously gotten talent, but it hasn't necessarily clicked the same way. And a guy that like Zollers, who has the athleticism to run some of their read option stuff and has the arm to take advantage of those talented receivers like Ladd McConkey and all the guys that are in the draft right now, Brock Bowers, you think of the receiving talent they've had, pair that with a guy with a stronger arm and a little bit better quarterback, and it just seems like that's the final thing there. Fitz, what do you got?
180 here from a question in the thread. Number one, we got off the air yesterday, like 10 seconds after Adam Schefter tweeted about the trade of Stephon Diggs to the Texans, and your face was priceless. And one of my big regrets on this show is that we did not get that in time to see your face. Number two, how bad do you want Ladd McConkey to be a Buffalo Bill?
Oh, quite bad. Yeah. So Corey put this in the chat for people here on the podcast. I know it's a recruiting show, but love to hear T Frank's thoughts on Diggs' trade for sticky buns and a scoop of creamery ice cream. Yeah, I feel a little bit better about it, seeing what other receivers have gone for over time that have a big cap number and are later in their career. So that made me feel a little bit better knowing they at least got a second back next year and they're going to clear a bunch of cap space. But yeah, when we got off the air, I was like, what? No, like, because of course it was blindsided. There have been rumors about Diggs being traded for like 2 years now. So you get inoculized to those things. And when it finally happens, it is actually surprising. The problem I have is Ladd McConkey kind of fits a certain style that the Bills have, which is they don't have anybody that's big. Like their number one receiver from like a physicality and catch point is Dalton Kincaid. Like, you know, they've got a bunch of guys that are 6 foot and under. Curtis Samuel's 200 pounds, but he's not like a number one receiver. And Diggs wasn't like a number one receiver build. So I would love Roma Dunze. You know, they do something stupid.
Trying to get Roma Dunze, buddy.
Yeah. Well,
sorry, I got bad news for you.
Brandon Bean loved to trade up. This is turning into a Bills the show, which we don't need to get too much farther. But Brandon Bean loves to trade up, so just keep your head on a swivel.
All right. That's gonna cost you a pretty penny.
Unfortunately, he's not afraid to do it. So we can come back to any questions you might have about Matt Zollers in the chat. Anything I missed in the conversation? Is there something else you want to talk about? Let us know. But this also coming out this week, Trent Wilson in our Penn State recruiting news segment makes his top four known: Ohio State, Texas A&M, Penn State, and Oklahoma. Ryan, you tweeted this out. That's probably not a good thing for Penn State in response to that. Why?
No, definitely not. First off, it would be he's committing on April 10th, which is a couple days before he was supposed to visit Penn State. I think that says a lot. Yeah, he's been to Penn State more than any other school, but he just got back from Oklahoma, which I think was his only visit to OU, which is very interesting. It's 2024 modern day recruiting. I don't know how else to put it, but it sounds like he's going to be a Sooner. And yeah, that's that one hurts. I mean, Penn State did a great job with defensive tackle last year, so it's not crushing, but it just comes back to like how many of these DMV top D linemen can they keep missing on? Because it feels like there's a line of them. No, yeah. I wouldn't say a line of them, but you know, there's a handful over the last couple of years where, you know, everything looks really good for a while and then poof, they end up elsewhere. So doesn't sound good for Penn State on that one either. So it's a very dreary and miserable show we're having here as far as for Penn State fans are concerned. Would we have like yeah. five people tuned in at this point?
Jeez. Yeah. Welcome to, we got a larger crowd than normal because obviously it's a big conversation with Matt Zollers, but yeah, welcome to Bummer Hour for Penn State fans. I was also going to say like, this could have been a St. Francis pickup, if you want to call it that, seeing as he at one point was at St. Francis.
He's not there anymore.
Yeah. No, I know. But like at one point, like if you want to get a win in the column for Penn State, you might count that. Fitz, this is the second time this has happened to them, right? This spring, in terms of a defensive tackle who shows interest in Penn State and then, oh, whoops, never mind. At least that's how the way Ryan is reading it. So, you know, I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts on that particular conversation?
I think if you're referring to Landon Rink, I think that one's a little bit different. He ended up committing to Texas A&M. He's a Texas kid. So, like, the situations there, the parallels there are a little bit different. Like, you were expecting to get him on campus at the end of March and then for an official visit to do what you can. But he's going to go to Texas A&M as a Texas kid. I think that that's kind of a different pool than Trent Wilson, a Maryland kid, going to Oklahoma. And, yeah, that was an interesting one because he went to Ohio State after he went to Oklahoma. And still, the pull for Oklahoma was there. So I think that was pretty, pretty strong. So it'd be interesting to see how that recruitment continues to progress. But that one was one where that again, turned on a dime. And you're going to have those. We talked about that on the show last week with USC. But I think there's going to be those ones that just are all of a sudden, hey, this kid had four official visits set up when he narrowed it to four on Monday. And then Wednesday, put out that he's deciding on the 10th. That's pretty quick turnaround if you're anybody, really.
Yeah. Something changed his mind pretty rapidly. Do you expect that to happen again? Like, I don't know. Do you expect that to keep happening, Ryan? Like, is this the year where a lot of this NIL stuff is really going to hit home in a detrimental way for teams that aren't willing to spend on
Look, Penn order? State, I texted this to Sean yesterday. Like, there's always a period of a couple weeks at some point throughout the year, every class, where, you know, fans get all upset and, you know, Penn State's going to lose out a handful of top guys in a 6-week span and everybody feels like everything's coming to an end or terrible. You know, the one thing I would say is that in previous years, a lot of times their class would rank a little bit higher than what this one does right now. Because, you know, I think fans look at the class right now as like, well, there's some talent in there, but there's also some questions that we don't always have, as far as some of the players. But I'm not – we see this every year is my point. So yeah, there's probably going to be another two or three players here in this stretch that say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to do official visits. They're going to commit elsewhere and fans will get upset about it. But you know, you can go back every year and find that little 6-7-8 week period where that kind of happens. So let's just get to official visits, man. Their official visits schedule stacked. You know, they're going to pull a surprise or two, I think. You know, or I guess maybe just guys that we're not talking about as much, talented players. And then, you know, there's those handful of guys that we have been on, discussing a ton over the last 6-7-8 months, who they're in good shape with. So I think Trent Wilson definitely hurts just because of the amount of visits, you know, and you go back to Jason Moore, you go back to Brian Bressy, like there's a lot that there's just been a theme there at times where it feels really good for Penn State and it just doesn't happen. And this kind of feels like the next one. Although I don't know if I'd put Trent Wilson in the Brian Bressy category yet, but my point is it just felt good and doesn't look too good anymore.
Yeah. So you mentioned this, and Fitz, I want to talk to you about this, is the idea of you got Ethan Grunkmeyer last year. You can absorb a loss of a Matt Zollers because you have done a good job, and I think we all think very highly of Ethan Grunkmeyer. And then you have a big class on the defensive line last year, but we also talked about like there are a lot of high risk, high reward players there as well. So can you absorb missing on top talent at defensive tackle and still take those incremental steps forward that I think fans are always hoping is going to be giant leaps of each year you get a high 4-star defensive tackle. But, you know, do you think that they've done enough with the guys they've recruited with Deion Barnes last year that you can absorb this if you still get a quality prospect that maybe isn't as highly recruited as Wilson later on?
Couple things. You can absorb some of that stuff. It's recruiting, it's college football, it's in an exact science, and you know, 50, you go 50-50 in a class and you're feeling pretty good about production. Number two, your job is to stack talent. Your job as a college coach or a recruiting staff is to get these guys in and then find somebody better in the next class to compete with that guy. That's where it hurts. Like, you can talk about Zollers, you can talk about Grunkmeyer, you can talk about, hey, I feel great with Grunkmeyer, but at the end of the day, your job is to get the best guys in and then replace them with better guys. And that's where this one hurts. Like, I'm not saying Matt Zollers is going to be better than Ethan Grunkmeyer or the other way around, but your job is to establish who you think is going to be good, bring them in, sign them, get them onto your roster. And that is that's the F word here. That's the failure here, is that you want to stack as much as you possibly can. And you want to keep away from other ones. The one thing I will say, and you're going to say Matt Zollers is an in-state kid, and absolutely it is, and that it hurts from that perspective, dominate the state, yada, yada, whatever. But when it comes to quarterbacks, things are a little bit different. Georgia is pressing for Matt Zollers because Juju Lewis, who is from Georgia, is top, what is he, five? I think he's a five-star, close to a five-star.
Yeah, Zollers actually ranks ahead of him now, I think, by 1-3, but go on.
He's going to USC. Like, and because quarterbacks are such a premium position, because that's how quarterback recruiting has gone.
Yep.
You kind of erase state lines when it comes to that. And while it hurts to lose an in-state guy, it's probably a little bit different than if you lost, you know, you just did an interview with Kevin Brown this morning and he's a 2026 guy, but he's just the first name that popped into my head as a Pennsylvania guy. That stings more as an in-state loss than the quarterback, just because the quarterback is so all encompassing in college football.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a fair point there. Kevin Gillis.
Another thing with Georgia, too, is like they got Puglisi last year. But obviously, they missed on Raiola, but I don't think they took a quarterback in 2023. So, like, they need young quarterback talent.
They have one in 2026, too. Yeah, they have one committed. And the other interesting thing, Missouri doesn't have a commit in 2025.
Not two. Yeah, I was going to bring that up earlier.
Amazing to me.
We're pretty deep into this to not have a commit. And do you read anything into that, or is that just happenstance?
We don't have a Missouri site, which kind of sucks. And you know, we're close with our Georgia site, so that's kind of where like a lot of the information sharing is going in that direction. And with the national guys, and we got Steve Wilfong on board this week, so he's been in, Chad Simmons, so they've done a really good job with this for a recruitment where you can't really say one way or the other until the kid announces. I think.
Z-Man says, this is an inevitable show we didn't want to hear but need to listen anyway. Appreciate you saying that, Z-Man. Sky isn't actually falling.
Make sure that last part's in there.
Yeah. The sky isn't actually falling. Kevin Gillick asks, what's up with Quincy Porter? I understand it's a long shot, but frankly, he's exactly what we need to get this passing game back into gear. I'm just going to quote Fitz. Quincy Porter, probably the top guy at receiver, probably not going to Penn State. He did visit recently, though.
He visited on Friday.
Yeah. And, do you guys have any read on that?
Things, and then he turns around and he's got Ohio State and Michigan this week. So I think Ohio State and Michigan probably the two top leaders. The interesting wrinkle with Ohio State is they took Desi Jones over the weekend. Desi Jones from North Jersey was on Penn State's board, but when you take a look at the level that they've recruited wide receivers at Ohio State under Brian Hartline, I got to admit that was a surprising one for me.
Deshaun Stewart wasn't surprised too. I know that's a different position, but
I was less surprised by Stewart because they always seem to go into Jersey and pull out a guy that you're like, would they take him? And Stewart was one of those guys this year who I think is a really good player. I don't know that he's it's unfair to him because you look at what they've recruited in the secondary at Ohio State in the 2025 class, and it's like number one corner, number three corner, number five corner. I think they're in Dorian Brew. You know, that is a ridiculous stacking, if you will. So I'm surprised by that, but I'm more surprised with Desi Jones when you take a look at what's on the board, just from a Penn State perspective and how well they've recruited Ohio State at receiver.
Yeah, and just even if Chip Kelly comes in and it's a different offense or there's a different emphasis, like I, you know, 5'10", 175. So I was thinking in my head, like, well, they like to run the ball. Chip Kelly likes to run the football. I know he's a spread offense. They like to run the football. Is that a part of it? I wouldn't say that, like, that's a, who knows? Like, that's just speculation. I'm going to get out of this speculation cycle by talking about weekend visits, guys. That's coming up here starting today. You know, I always like to think of Thursday as the weekend. It makes it seem less, more palatable. So there's some names coming to campus today through Saturday. Ryan, kind of like the conversation with Matt Zollers, I'm just going to kind of get out of the way and let you talk about some dudes. So you start us off and then just go through whoever you want to talk about here coming up over the next couple of days.
Yeah, I will start. I mean, just I'll go today. Sean, you can go on the Saturday, guys. But I think today there's two players that fans really need to know about. Nolan Davenport, offensive lineman out of, is it Massillon, I believe, in Ohio. Just got an offer from Penn State. What was it? Maybe a week or two ago. It was pretty recently. And that grabs my attention for a few reasons. He has been on campus before, came to a game. I believe it was UMass back in October. Then was at a junior day recently. And I think this is a player who, let's see how today's visit goes. We'll get feedback on that. But I wouldn't be shocked if he eventually is added to the official visit list down the road. I know he's going to Missouri and some other schools in there, but like if Penn State decides to really push for this for Nolan Davenport, I think he's a player that they can land. And I also think it kind of speaks a little bit to Malachi Goodman. You know, that situation kind of feels like he was supposed to visit last week, decided to go to Alabama. That's probably not a good sign. You know, we'll see with Zaire Addison. He's got a lot of awesome options. Really likes Penn State, though. He's the guy that I think Penn State's going to have to push all out for, and maybe they're. Him and Michael Carroll are probably their top two offensive line targets at the moment. But the fact that they offered Davenport kind of when they did, getting him back on campus quickly does feel like a player that we need to have circled. He's a 2025 prospect. I don't know if I added that in there or not. But the other one then, Marcelo Vitti, 2026, listed as an athlete out of Detroit, but would I think he would be a safety or yeah, definitely a safety.
Of course,
for Penn State. He's got
names in a vowel. He's
right. So Yeah, I mean, he's got Michigan State. He's got a bunch of quality offers. He's been on campus a few times already. So certainly a player to keep an eye on. Again, 2026, so don't need to overthink it too much. We'll see where things go. And obviously, being from Detroit and Michigan seems to be on him pretty hard, you would think that the Wolverines will be in a good spot there. But I think this is his third visit now to Penn State. So that's a positive sign. And we'll see where things go from there. Go ahead.
One note on Nolan Davenport, just checking out his film today and kind of assessing new offensive linemen or just generally new players. Seems like he'd be a very good fit in this offense. So, you know, scheme and player fit are also very important, not just the level of talent. And when you have guys that are athletic and can move, I think he's in that conversation of this is a really athletic offensive lineman in a scheme that's going to use outside zone concepts, pulling concepts, and everyone's going to be able to run. So maybe he isn't a guy that has all of it together, but I think is a decent fit. And you've seen Andy Kolnicki do a lot of good things with offensive linemen who maybe aren't the highest level recruits. So sorry, I know I said I was going to step out, but I thought that was an interesting update looking at him and his talent. Fitz, do you want to take over here?
Saturday? I can talk Saturday. Yeah. A couple of guys, and there's more on the list, and including the five-star that Ryan recruited last week. Justin Hill's the one that jumps out to me.
I recruited him, man.
Woods in Cincinnati. What's that?
You said I recruited him last week. I think you meant reported on.
Reading and talking is not my specialty. But linebacker, defensive end, I would put him in the whatever he wants to be category. He's a really good player. Top 100 by On3, four-star by the On3 industry rankings. He's been a guy that's on the radar for a long time. Penn State wanted to get him out this winter, and now they're just going to get him out for a spring practice, going to get him back for an official visit. He's one of those guys, I think, that is good enough in Ohio to go to Ohio State. The RPM heavily suggests the Buckeyes. But USC's in there, Alabama's in there. He's got some official visits that are pretty heavy hitters. We got him listed at 6'3", 220. I think just looking at his film, maybe more of an edge prospect than a traditional linebacker, but a guy that can just find the football and go flat out get it. Big fan of Justin Hill.
He's not Abdul Carter, but it's a fair comparison.
I was thinking he's just the way he runs. He looks a little Tony Rojas-y. So, you know, I think he's on that line.
Okay.
Yeah. I just see a guy who's going to grow into edge at some point. He'll come in at linebacker and he'll be an edge by the time he leaves. If it would be at Penn State, of course, but we'll see.
All right. Rashad Johnson, safety from Florida, is coming up. Jacob Washington from Louisiana, wide receiver. So, you know, spreading that net pretty wide at a couple of positions where you've got some options that are maybe a little bit closer to home, but just some names worth tracking for the weekend.
Yeah, big guy, Jacob Washington, 6'3", 185. You can see him, his highlights here on the channel. So those are the names we got coming up. Another one that we have here on the list, I'm interested in, and 2026 player, but Max Sutter. You know, you want to talk about tight ends again. Here's another guy just watching his film this morning. Wow, is the first conversation that I want to have about Max Sutter. Is just this dude can move. And like a couple of the guys that they've recruited at tight end that also play quarterback, I don't think he sucks at throwing the football. Like, it's just interesting. You watch a guy who can do just a little bit of everything on film. What do you guys think about Sutter?
I mean, good athlete. No doubt about that. I mean, he's ranked, I think, a top 10 tight end in the country. This is his first visit to Penn State, so we'll get a better feel for, like, you know, just how interested he is, or, you know, even other things like how he measured up and stuff like that. I'm curious to learn a little bit more about that later. I guess it would be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. But, you know, he's already been down to Bama. He's got quality offers, you know, pretty much all the top Midwest schools, and certainly a player to keep an eye on. I'm not sure if he's going to be the next Lincoln Clark or Lincoln Cure or anything like that, but, you know, Penn State's on him, seems to be on him pretty hard from what I understand.
We got a question here in the chat, some kind of information, you know, who, what, when, where, why, from Derek Moyer. He says, where will Matt Zollers announce today? Ryan,
Do you mean like as far as like YouTube or streaming? His school's supposed to be broadcasting it.
Okay, so his school's broadcasting. He's announcing at his school, and it's at 4 p.m. Correct? Those are the pertinent details, I think. I'm also shooting.
Let me look that up while you guys filibuster here, because I know it's
Their school has a very good YouTube page, because I've been watching his basketball games on their YouTube page. It's going to be on their YouTube page. If you look, I think it's like Ram Country TV.
Yeah, 3 o'clock. Watching some of their football games. Awesome broadcast quality.
Mm-hmm. 3 o'clock on the SF Rams FB Twitter feed.
3 o'clock
or X feed, if you will.
Okay.
And Kyle R just says our Will Fong just predicts Mizzou for Zollers. So
makes sense.
You know, already making an impact here at On Three.
Yeah. It makes sense. Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I would argue better for Penn State if they better Missouri than Georgia.
So. I just don't know what the money is.
I mean, it's just like, I know. What's I figured
the that money though? Like that's the thing. I mean, because there's no doubt that remember, Missouri doesn't have any commits right now. So as far as the NIL coffers go, they're pretty heavy. So that'd be the only thing I would wonder. But yeah, I mean, down the road, you know, especially if Missouri doesn't really put together a good class and they take a step back this year. Yeah, we'll see.
By the way, I just got a text from Greg. It's 3 p.m. and the link is in our story on our on blueitillustrated.com. So thanks,
Greg.
Greg's been all over this.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, he gave me the rundown of the Hollywood casino blackjack table standards. I don't really go to casinos. That was just kind of more of an example, but we've got boots on the ground there in Greg, and he was able to provide some clarity there. He said it was a good example, so I'm feeling pretty good about that, seeing as if it's Greg, I'll
take it. I love that we have a live fact checker and somebody who knows everything that's watching the show. So, Greg, as always, Greg providing excellent support and utility, even when he's not a part of the show. Like, he's everywhere for Blue White Illustrated.
Do you think they're going to, I can see it in the chat, do you think they're going to go on to Malik Washington, Sean?
Probably a question for tomorrow. That's when you're checking with sources, you don't exactly say, hey,
right,
hey, when you miss this one, what's going to happen? So I mean, that's it's going to be one that we look at. I mean, he was just on campus, and the two were not connected. Like, I know people want to connect the dots, but they want to spread that net and try and continue those relationships they can. They like Malik Washington a lot. You've mentioned before, a little bit more raw than probably given credit for, but that's still a talented guy that can throw the ball really well.
Yeah, and a good runner, like a guy that would fit really well in this offense and be able to do a little bit of everything.
I'm still leaning towards they're just going to stick with Kritza, but we'll see. That's my prediction.
Yeah. Do you want to have the Quentin Martin conversation again? Kevin Gillick is in the chat asking about Quentin Martin, but we can refer him to any of the other shows where we talked about Quentin Martin playing receiver. So
I want to get more info on because we haven't seen him the last 2 weeks. So
I'm
more curious about that than putting him at receiver. I'm more curious about him playing on the field than playing where he plays out on the field.
Yeah, which is a great Kevin. Check out yesterday's show where we recap practice and some of those conversations over on the Blue White Illustrated YouTube channel here. You know, or if you listen on the podcast, you can listen to yesterday's podcast as well. So that's all I got, guys. What do you have coming up? Obviously, we have the official announcement coming up later today. And then what are you tracking after that, Ryan? What's coming up for you with recruiting?
Just the weekend visitors, you know, but it's not a really heavy list compared to last weekend. Last weekend was a much deeper list. So I'm sure guys will be added to it. I mean, right now, Justin Hill is certainly the guy I would have circled as the player to watch for this weekend. Not to watch for a commitment or anything like that, but it's the most maybe important 2025 from that perspective. But I'm sure players will get added to it. We'll check in with sources later tonight or tomorrow morning and see who maybe we may be missing. But it's, you know, next week's blue-white, right? So that's kind of the build-up to that. They'll obviously hope to get a really good crowd out for that game next week.
Yeah.
And then we'll be on to the spring evaluation period. So doesn't look like any commitments coming for a little bit, which I thought they might get one, but I don't know right now. I mean, Blue White usually lands one, but there's not really a guy I have circled right now.
Yeah. Fitz, that's actually something I was curious about, not necessarily the commitment part, but does the Blue White game cast kind of a shadow over this week of practice where maybe I'll come up this weekend or I'll just come up for the blue-white game? Or is somebody, if they're thinking about that, are they just going to come up twice? Like, how do you see that working historically?
Well, it's also the first weekend of trout season in Pennsylvania. So that's, you know, it's going to throw everybody off.
Yeah.
But no, that if you can make a visit, if you're given the chance to visit this weekend or next weekend, you're taking next weekend because it's the blue-white game. So if it fits into your schedule. So Justin Hill's not going to come for the blue-white game. So it makes sense for him to be here this weekend. Also, I believe you teased a mailbag question yesterday.
Yes. Yeah. I got all excited. Also, I think I had
you were baiting switching whoever asked. You don't have who asked that question, but yeah, let's do that one.
Yeah, it was Scott L. And you're right. I got, there was an awkward transition where I flailed a little bit and went too far down the rundown here. But this is the question from Scott L, who was on the Mailbag show yesterday. It used to be that a player only took official visits to the main schools that they were considering, but players are now allowed unlimited official visits. Is it now harder for the staff to figure out who is really interested in Penn State versus those just taking free trips so as not to get to use up the still limited number of OV schools, official visits that schools are allowed? How do you parse between, and I think this is also fair to ask you guys, like, how do you parse between somebody who is like, yeah, I'll check out Penn State, it doesn't cost me anything now in terms of like a limited number of resources, and gauging real interest in this kind of wide open mm-hmm. world where some of the rules you had before feel like there's an erosion of those kind of tentpole ideas. Ryan, you've talked about, you know, track the visits doesn't provide mm-hmm. you the same security anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, so a couple things. One, as he mentioned, recruits are allowed unlimited official visits now. It used to be five. Now, of course, you can only go to one school one time, but you can take 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever it may be.
Unless it's
2. Yeah, 56. It was what schools used to have. Is it 56 or 52? I think it's 56. Yeah, they're now allowed 70, but okay. Those include transfer portal too. So that's part of that whole, you know, upgrade as far as in total visits allowed. The main thing I would say is yes and no. I mean, I can make cases for both of that. Like I definitely have talked to sources about that. They're saying like it is a little more difficult to read when guys are taking more official visits for in April or squeezing something into May and then trying to get 6 or 7 out of it. Like Max Buchanan, for example, offensive lineman who I don't really think is going to end up at Penn State, does have an OV set for the end of June. He has 7 official visits already lined up. So I think it may be a little bit more difficult to kind of read a kid like that. But the vast majority of these guys still are only doing 4 official visits in June, right?
Yeah, it doesn't change for most of the population, most mm-hmm. of the recruiting population, because number one, most aren't good enough to just like make their own schedule. And that's mm-hmm. Not trying to be a shot, but like most are not going to be like, hey, I want to see Alabama, USC, Georgia, Notre Dame, Michigan, Ohio. Like most are not going to have that opportunity. And staffs are trying to keep sort of tamper that one down. Like mm-hmm. because you're limited to how many you can get, it's not just, hey, you want to come out, check us out. Like, and maybe, I don't know, just throwing something, maybe Oregon would be able to do that. Like it's so different from, just like a free-for-all. It's not a free-for-all. So I think that's it. The interesting thing about Penn State and the way that they've done it is you look at the last couple of years and they've stacked the front of that schedule. The first and second weekend in June are, I don't want to say priorities because everybody's got their own schedule. You got a guy like Jaden Blair that's going to come in last weekend of June. He's still a priority. But most of the guys that are coming in the first couple of weeks are the ones that you're like pounding the pavement for. Like those are the guys that you're hardest on. And then you do that commit weekend where you bring in guys that are number one committed. And then you bring in guys that you think fit with what you're doing. And it also happens to fit with their schedule. So those first three weekends are, in my mind, different than that final weekend, which that final weekend is really populated, but there's going to be a lower hit rate on guys that actually make that trip. So they've got 50 scheduled right now. 40 of those guys will end up making it. And that includes, I think, the commits. So that's what you're working with here. And you want to get earlier in June. The interesting, I don't want to call it a wrinkle because schools have been doing it for a while, but there are programs out there that are getting kids on campus. So Virginia Tech's doing this, Baylor's doing this in the next couple of weeks, because this window is
next week for their spring game. Sorry to cut you off.
April to June is the window. Nobody really utilized April before, but some of these schools are going to get a chance to get guys. I don't want to, and it sounds very condescending here, but guys, they don't really have any business being in that June window with, but you get an opportunity to get him on campus. And I'm not sure what the hit rate's going to be, because if you're scheduling visits for June, you're probably not going to decide in April, but hey, you can press the right buttons and get somebody to commit. I look at Virginia with some in-state kids, you know, like they've done some, or excuse me, Virginia Tech, not Virginia, Virginia is kind of a mess, but Virginia Tech, they've done some really nice things to regain the ground that they lost under Justin Fuente. Brent Pry and his staff are doing a pretty good job with that. And maybe that's your window in. We talked about Penn State recruiting Florida and finding the right guys that aren't going to be the big three, the school, the guys that are going to take officials to Florida, Florida State, Miami, but finding the right guys that, you know, your evaluation stick through. Virginia Tech's kind of in that situation because they are digging out of such a crater from Justin Fuente. And now you can maybe do the thing where you dominate the state, do the things. And it's really funny to watch Virginia Tech's recruiting pitch and how similar it is to what James Franklin did. And it makes sense because Brent Pry was here for so long and Michael Villagrana was here and now he's running recruiting for them and Tyler Bones, the offensive coordinator. So many things that Penn State does, even the graphics, even the way that they tweet, even the things that they do is modeled after the way that they did at Penn State. Now, if you think about how Penn State did it when they got here, it's starting with in-state. It is establishing those relationships. God knows Blacksburg is in Virginia, but also not in Virginia, if you've ever been to Blacksburg. So that is what you have to do to dig that out and to get where they need to be. And those early spring official visits, which we're not used to seeing, are, I think, going to be a big part of that.
Fitz, are we doubling as the Virginia Tech site for On3 as well, given how much similarity there is?
I mean, those guys are great. I mean, I didn't mention Michael Hazel, but there's a bunch of guys that are down there that are, you know, you got to work harder at that job to recruit than you work at Penn State, just because it's such a, like, the fact that they had as much success as they did in the 757, when you own a map, like, that does not make sense. And they've got to get back into that. They got to, you know, get back into Northern Virginia and things like that. And it's really hard, especially when you have a limited window like every college coach has these days.
Right.
Botech has three intriguing official visitors of note this weekend. Jaden Blair, Jeff Exner, both very important prospects for Penn State. I would put them up there pretty much near the top of both their positions. And then the third, Malik Washington. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I think you answered one of my questions, which I think is interesting, because you can take unlimited visits, and kind of going back to the original thesis of the question, you can take unlimited visits. You don't have unlimited time. These are also high school kids. So, like, even if you extend into the fall, they have games, and especially if they're high level recruits, they've got very important games. So theoretically, like, I mean, can you take seven visits? Can a top athlete stretch that out? Is there enough time where they could do, you know, kind of what you guys were talking about?
And also, you got to remember, mid-April to pretty much throughout most of May is the spring evaluation period. So coaches are on the road the vast majority of that time. So that's why you're not really seeing a lot then. There are a couple that you will find, you know, a handful of guys who have a weekend here or there in May, but it's not popular. Coaches are trying to stay away from that if they can. But yeah, I mean, it's, if you want to do midweeks in June, you can fit in a bunch, but I think at the same time, man, like so many of these guys have been traveling so much for a year and a half now. Like, do you really want to keep adding more flights and more travel and more hotels? You know, I think that's a big reason why Zollers is like, yo, we're doing these visits and we're getting this over with, because he didn't do as many visits as so many other guys, but like it's definitely was wearing on him, put it that way.
Yeah, and I think the one tier that could really benefit from this unlimited visit thing is the schools that are not at the top of the list in their area, but they have tremendous talent. UCF, SMU are a couple that jump out to me that like, hey, this kid's going to pop up on campus and in no stratosphere would you, or in no stratosphere was probably the right word, but no, it's almost 11 o'clock and I heard the recycling truck go, so I'm shaking, but I got it out.
Got some residual PTSD,
but like those programs that have really good talent in their backyard and maybe have really good, maybe offer these kids a freshman, offer these kids a sophomore, have good relationships. Maybe that's where you see the unlimiteds coming in and be like, hey, come check us out.
We can be done with the show here, but just this conversation here, the Bane Train has at the bottom of the chat here, demographic and geographic challenges of State College are a unique problem, I believe. So then, like, I hate when we just have kind of a period on a thought, because, and it's correct, but if you were to just drop State College into, I don't know, Harrisburg or Westchester, does that change? Does that change anything for you guys?
Right, the camera's dead. The guy in the show.
Yeah.
What do you think, Sean?
I think it changes a good bit, actually. Like, hey, I compare, you know, everybody compares Penn State and Michigan to each other. And the big difference there is that you can fly to Detroit and be right there. You can't really do that with State College, especially when you're talking about the challenges of flight prices and getting your whole family here and doing things in the middle of nowhere. Now, it's something that Penn State has worked against for a long time. And I think it's something that they've done well enough with, but it's going to be a big hurdle because it's not Columbus, it's not Detroit, you know, even South Bend, which is kind of the same, has more accessibility. But then again, on the other hand, you're not Syracuse, so that's good. So there are schools that have it worse, but not in terms of like big time programs.
Yeah, I see people all the time mention like, oh, you fly into Harrisburg, only an hour and a half. Look, the vast majority of these guys are not flying into Harrisburg because of money reasons, flat out. I mean, it's usually Pittsburgh or Philly. I've even seen Baltimore, you know, if they're coming from down south, and then driving the rest of the way. And that does matter, especially when you can land in Columbus and be on campus 20 minutes later.
And they fly them into State College for official visits. But we're talking about like right now, like when you got to spend $600 to go to State College from Texas or wherever you're coming from, and then you multiply it by two or three, that is a deterrent right there.
Yeah. I mean, I was trying to plan a vacation, an actual honest to God vacation, and I was comparing prices, and oh wow, the difference between Pittsburgh and State College, like that's some real money. Johnstown. That's some real money when you're trying to travel.
Yeah. Johnstown. Yeah. The Johnstown, the secret hit it.
That's mine.
I don't care. I don't live up there anymore. HIA, baby. Let's go.
All right, guys, thank you so much for your insight today. Thank you for all your hard work covering all of these recruiting situations from Matt Zollers, Trent Wilson, the recruiting visits coming up this week. And I truly believe this. I say this all the time. I write this all the time. The best Penn State football recruiting information, insight, and perspective you can get literally anywhere. That's why we built this team, of having Ryan and Sean on the same team, because they have been the best for a long time. And over the last 2 years, I feel like you could not find any better content.
I've been the best. I mean, Sean's okay. All right. End the show.
All right. Let's get going. We'll talk to you on Monday here on the BWI Live Show.